Onkey's robot sidekick Vector gets smart cooking with Heston Q using Pixel 3's Night Sight mode.
Live from the Twit Studios, it's the Screensaver!
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
The new Screensavers is brought to you by On Deck. Are you a small business owner in need of capital today? Well, On Deck can help. With over $10 billion in loans and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, On Deck is a lender you can trust. Visit ondeck.com/NSS to learn more and receive a free consultation with one of their U.S.-based loan specialists. And by LastPass. Secure every password-protected entry point to your business. Join over 43,000 businesses and start managing and securing your company's passwords today. Learn more at lastpass.com/twit. And by Toto Washlet. Upgrade a once mundane trip to the bathroom into a spa-like experience with Washlet. To learn more and for special savings, go to wayfair.com/NSS and enter the promo code NSS at checkout.
Those are my kids.
Those are your kids?
They're my kids.
Oh, tell us about them.
That's Malachi and Isabella.
And how old's Malachi?
Malachi's 10, going on 11 next week. Yeah. Isabella is 9.
And they're both going on 40 next week. The smartest, sweetest, sharpest
they
kids
sure
in the
are.
World. Thank you. Good job, Malachi and Isabella. Nice job. Welcome to the Screensavers, episode 183, November 17th, 2018. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Alex Lindsay.
It's Alex and his children.
They love coming here. This is like, when I found out I was coming, they're like, do we get to come?
So that guy's got excited. The portal gun.
Yeah, he's ready.
If you blow a hole in the floor and fall through that, you know what happens, right? You're going to come out somewhere else. Oh, man. Coming up in today's show, the holidays are just around the corner. Thanksgiving's this weekend, or this week, rather. I got some cooking to do on Monday and Thursday because
whatever progress you've made losing weight this year, it's over.
I have a 15-pound ham.
Oh, there you go.
I have two lasagnas, one red, one green. I have all the sides, and I'm making sweet potato pie for dessert. I am going to be having a good time.
Yep.
Fortunately, you brought me some good cooking ideas that will help me. We've got Alex's. What we're going to do from now through the end of the year is we're going to do gift guides every single episode, and various hosts and I will bring in our favorite little toys and tricks and things you might want to think of as for a gift. And Alex does a lot of cooking, so you brought in a lot of cooking. But there's some other stuff
in there, too.
Yeah,
some
fun.
Geeky stuff.
Geeky stuff, yeah. We also have a new toy. You remember the Cosmo last year?
It was
so cute. It had little eyes. It was like a toy robot.
Yeah, it was... It's cool.
Anki, who does that, has a new one called the Vector.
They've been doing a great job in general. If you think about it, they started with a little car.
I have the racetrack still.
They,
I love that.
They keep on progressing, and they're progressing fast.
I think, actually, you know, we've seen robots in a lot of varieties, and I think the two ends of the scale are the ones that are going to succeed. The big industrial robots that take things like automobiles and turn them over. They had the Tesla factory. It's amazing.
Right.
And then the little toy ones that you don't expect much from, but they actually are very interesting and innovative.
Well, and I think that, you know, we were just talking about this before the show, but I think that we're going to see CES is going to get more and more fun. I think we're turning this corner we're starting to see, you know, as all of this, the miniaturization of some of the electronics, the AI, I think a lot of the electronics that we're going to see are going to be really fascinating.
Are you going in January?
I go every year.
See, I have skipped the last 4 or 5 years, and I was thinking, you're right, things are going to get... Because it's been fairly dull for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, if you haven't been there 4 or 5 years, it's changed a lot.
Okay. So. Maybe I'll go this year. I don't need a new TV. Google's... wait a minute, that one's yours. Go ahead, take it.
I'm going to show a bunch of gifts. Heston Q.
That'll be fun.
Which is a lot of fun, and some all kinds of cooking stuff, and a couple little geeky things, and so it should be fun.
And then Jason has the new Pixel 3... He's going to show us Night Sight, which is the new... It just came out. In fact, I just got it on my Pixel 3. You will your mind will be boggled.
I saw the pictures. But yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
Like, it takes 15 images, I think. Well, Jason will explain it all. It's basically technology magic. Questions from the mailbag coming up, too. But first, the news. The company Thousand Eyes discovered this last week. Actually, it's kind of an interesting company. I did a panel for them last week and learned a lot about them. They have sensors everywhere. They put sensors all over the internet, not just on the edges, but in the middle, too. And they're watching internet traffic. So they're doing traffic monitoring and things. And they said, we noticed something odd, that traffic that was going through, let me see, the traffic was going, I can't remember what the actual countries, but some Google traffic was being routed through China first on its way. It turns out, and I, you know what, I suspected as soon as I heard this, that this is what happened. The problem is BGP, the Border Gateway Protocol. You have routers, you have BGP, these rules. And the way the internet is designed causes some real problems. Google traffic being sent through main one partner, China Telecom, was being routed. I guess not all of Google traffic, but some traffic was being routed through China Telecom. Turned out it was a Nigerian ISP, main one, accidentally misconfigured a router, the BGP router.
It's kind of scary that it only took one.
That's all it takes.
Router.
We've seen this before.
Yes, typo. It was basically a typo. Whole internet stopped because there was a typo.
Well, it didn't stop. It just went through China.
Maybe
you'd rather it stopped. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wonder if it came with any kind of offers for millions of dollars.
Elon Musk has a victory with the FCC. SpaceX, his space company, wants to build a satellite internet network with 12,000 low Earth orbit satellites.
And, you know, the funny thing here is that you have, you know, Google and Facebook have both been kind of doing this little, like, they test the loon, they test,
right.
You know, they've been testing little things and starting, and then Musk just goes, and then I'll do all of it.
And I'll do
you
it.
You know, like, we'll just,
I'll just do it.
What's the big version of this? I think it's, I think it's a $10 billion, investment.
It's going to take about 6 years to launch them, but the FCC gave approval for another 7,000 Starlink satellites. That makes 12,000. Yes.
Wow.
12,000 total. Now, you were talking about it's low and lower Earth.
Yeah,
what is
so
that?
They're, and I don't know exactly how high they were, but it's basically there is a low Earth orbit, and then there's a lower, and I believe the low Earth orbit was 60 miles, or maybe the lower Earth was 60
miles.
Wow,
that's really
low. The lower
low.
Earth is 60 miles.
That's barely out of the atmosphere.
Yeah, and so it's much lower than typical satellites, and the reason that's important is because what it's going to allow us to do is have much lower latency. So right now when we talk to a satellite, we do a lot of this. We transfer back and forth. If you're trying to talk to someone or you're trying to get internet, if you're doing DirecTV, you know, if you're getting the internet from that, you know that that latency takes forever to load your pages. If you're trying to do two-way traffic, it takes, you're listening to someone and then you have to wait and then return. So they're claiming latency near 25 milliseconds. I don't know
That's like landline in
it's
speed, right?
Fast. Even if it was 200 milliseconds, it's five times faster. So it really makes the internet work, and they're talking about true coverage of the whole world. I mean, it's a big deal. Like, if this actually works, it is, I think it's bigger than anything that Musk has done so far. So it's interesting.
So these satellites, I mean, that's a bad representation.
Yeah, because
that's only like 50.
12,000. Yeah. No, even that. That's
even
like,
that
that's the
enough.
Small version.
Yeah. So there's going to be, I mean, how do they keep from colliding with stuff? What about space junk? This is going to, will it blot out the sun?
Well, evidently, I think that they're very small.
They're actually really tiny.
Yeah, they're very small, but they will have to be tracked. I mean, when you're launching a rocket, every rocket will have to pay attention to that. There is a stipulation as part of the agreement to manage the space junk that's generated by this, because it is going to create theoretically a lot of space junk. So managing that process of what that looks like is a big deal, and I think we are getting to a point. There's going to be a business model for someone that's going to be going out and getting space junk. At this point, we're going to have to start collecting the stuff we left up there because it is starting to become a hazard.
One of the FCC commissioners mentioned a screwdriver that an astronaut inadvertently dropped during an EVA that is now orbiting the Earth at 25,000 miles an hour.
And that's the thing.
You don't want to run into that. And it's got no telemetry. It's not saying where it is.
Right. I mean, the thing to think about is a lot of that stuff that's moving around is moving faster than a speeding bullet, much faster than a speeding bullet. And so that's the thing that you know, so these are not a minor thing to be floating through space.
So here's a picture of how they're going to launch them. It's like a MIRV.
Right.
So one launch has hundreds of these little satellites on them. It'll open up and it'll disperse them through the sky. It's kind of an amazing technology, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And will it provide high-speed internet to every square foot on the planet?
That's the claim. That's the claim. High-speed internet,
imagine
low latency,
what that means.
High-speed internet to everywhere, and all one network. So now you're not talking about going back and forth. I mean, this is disruptive. I think that would be a good word for it.
And in a good way. Unless Elon just says, but now I own the internet.
Well, no, I don't think he seems like the type of guy.
No.
You know, I think that he's interested in doing something disruptive. I think that it's going to be hard for somebody else to do it because, you know, it's going to be really interesting. I think that he truly is the Tony Stark of our...
Yeah,
like you just
pretty
this,
amazing.
Like, it just comes out of nowhere, and then I will do something completely crazy.
I'm going to do this. He says 6 years, 2025.
Right.
We've seen this already, kind of in this business, where you get a discontinuity. In 2008, the iPhone came out.
Right,
that has changed everything.
Right.
Ubiquitous. The notion of internet high speed.
Right.
Has he talked about the download speeds?
They haven't, but it should be relatively
really,
high.
Truly high-speed internet in every square inch of the planet.
It'll change how we see the planet, because suddenly we can now do live streams. We can do FaceTime.
You can be in the Gobi Desert doing a live stream.
Exactly. All of those things are going to be possible. I think that one of the big things for him will be that you'll have great internet on your Tesla.
That's probably all he
cares about. That might be the only reason that
it's
there.
One thing you get when you buy a Tesla, at least the Model X. I don't know about the new Model 3. You get free internet for life.
I just wonder whether he decided... my wonder when I saw the article was, did he do the math and say, this is how much I'm paying the cell phone folks per year for my Tesla?
It would just be cheaper.
If I just did my own, this would save me $1 billion a year after the first 10 years. You know, that kind of thing.
Speaking of Iron Man, the creator of Spider-Man, co-creator of Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Stan Lee, passed away this week. 95 years old. He was a legend, a superhero. Of course, he was in all the Marvel movies.
Yeah, he'd always be somewhere.
I bet somebody's done a supercut of all of
There's
Stan Lee's
be
appearances. Because it was always fun. He always had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
He also always looked pretty... classy. He was kind of the Hef of comic books. Oh, there I am interviewing him. I don't remember that. But he was a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot that I've interviewed him. Stan Lee.
I like the pictures of him in the 70s. He just looked like he was
Reddit
having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in the 70s.
I think it was his publicity shot that because it's autographed.
Yeah.
On Reddit. It's really
that was
hysterical.
A great publicity shot.
Yeah.
Well done.
And speaking of other people who passed away, there, look at that. Burning money, Stan. Burning money. All right. Well, you'll be missed, Stanley, but thank you for all you've done. He's up there with Elon's roadster up in the sky. Another sad passing, and sadly a little bit younger, Bill Godbout passed away at the age of 79. You may not know the name Bill Godbout, but you owe him. We all owe him. He was an early computer pioneer. His company, Godbout Electronics, and later CompuPro, created and promoted the S100 bus, which standardized personal computing in the very earliest days. The very sad thing about this story is he was one of the
casualties of
the fire, of the Camp Fire in 2018. He lived in the town of Concow, California, and the entire town was burned to the ground. So as we are learning more about this devastating fire, now 1,000 people missing.
Is it now 1,000? It was 600 yesterday, and now it's 1,000
people missing. It is an incredible tragedy, and devastating. So, it's very smoky here. It's actually unhealthily smoky here.
Yeah.
Glad we got the molecule in here. You turned it up earlier. Thank you. That we can breathe the air in here. But I just, sad to lose Bill Godbout, but not just Bill, just so many people and so many houses, and it's very sad. Up next, we're going to show you how you take pictures in the dark, and I mean the dark, with your Pixel phone. now that Google's rolled out Night Sight. But first, a word from our sponsor, OnDeck. This is actually a new sponsor, Twit, and I am actually thrilled to bring them on. When you're a business, I don't need to tell you if you're a small business person. I don't need to tell you, cash flow is always the problem, right? As we get close to the holidays, for instance, if you're a retail, you might want to staff up, put a lot of stuff in, get a lot of inventory. But that's all money out the door, and the cash doesn't come till people come and buy stuff. You're going to have a little discontinuity between when you spend the money and when you get the money. That's why it's very handy to have a line of credit or a small business loan that is fast, quick, and affordable, and that's what OnDeck does. They're 100% committed to small business owners with fast, easy, and tailored financing. Now, this is no fly-by-night company. They've been doing this for a long time. They have $10 billion lent to 80,000 small business owners. You saw an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. That's really important. They get a 9.8 out of 10 rating on Trustpilot. So I'm telling you about a company that is really good with a simple application process. You can do it online or by phone, and you'll get approved fast, and you'll get the money fast. And by the way, it will not impact your personal credit. So that's really important to small business owners. I know it's really important for us. This is a secure financing service business owners can truly rely on. They have a very simple, secure web platform and mobile app. It makes it easy to access your account anytime, anywhere. If you need capital, to staff up for the holidays or to take advantage of a great opportunity, OnDeck.com/NSS right now for a free consultation with one of their U.S.-based loan specialists. Absolutely no obligation, no pressure. They're just nice people. They can tell you what they can do. They can tell you what the rate would be. I know there's people now putting stuff on their credit cards because they need the cash. That's the temptation, right? If you're a small business, just charge it. The interest rate on your credit card is going to kill you. These are much more affordable loans. OnDeck.com/NSS. Get that consultation right now. At least do yourself a favor. Check it out. Find out how much you can save. Really a really great company, too. Been around for a long time, and they've done a great job. OnDeck, OnDeck.com/NSS. We have loaded a table with Alex's picks. I'm glad to see your children on that table. But first, we're going to get to those in just a second. But first, I can't wait to show you Night Sight. Jason,
I know, Howell, it's amazing.
Watch this.
The Pixel 3 camera is really, quite simply, a remarkable smartphone camera. Arguably the best out there at the moment. Part of its success lies not in the hardware, but in Google's software prowess. Google has made tremendous strides with its research and implementation of artificial intelligence in order to achieve magical outcomes in the pictures that are taken in the Pixel lineup of smartphones. And now, a new feature takes that magic one step further. Google first announced its new Night Sight feature at its Made by Google event, the hardware event last month, and it's now pushing the new mode to the stock Pixel camera app. So look for it to appear any day now for you. I've had a pre-release version of the camera app with the new Night Sight mode on it for a little while now, and I can safely say that this feels like magic. It's that good. So what is Night Sight? Well, say you find yourself in your living room at 6 a.m. in the morning like I did when I shot this footage. There is little to no light coming in through the windows, as you can see, and my hue bulb is on its lowest possible setting. To my eyes, the living room is incredibly dark. To my Pixel camera app in the standard mode, I see next to nothing when I snap that shot. Darkness surrounded by a slight glimpse of maybe something a little bit brighter on the couch. No light means poor pictures. This is what we've come to expect from smartphone photography. But when I slide over to the More tab and select Night Sight, more light is let in on the preview. You kind of see things look a little grainy, but this helps to aid in framing the shot and even selecting the focal point of the shot. No small feat, by the way, when dealing with this little amount of light. Then I'll snap the shot, and the app will take that initial shot and ask me to hold my place for just a few seconds while it gathers light information from the room. Now, after a few moments, the new shot is complete, and the difference is, well, like I said, magical. Suddenly, you can see my dog, Sugar, just passed out on the couch like she should be at 6 a.m. Results like these on a normal camera would require a long open exposure and likely a tripod mount because any hand movement would shake the camera so much that you'd get a messy blur in the final image. This was taken with my shaky hands, and still things look pretty amazing. I took the app for a spin as we went to a wine event in Glen Ellen, and though not every single picture that I took came out perfect, in the majority of shots, the before shows a hint, the after shows everything. This magic is achieved by Night Sight, taking a burst of low-light photos before and after the shutter is actually pressed, and then using its AI smarts to merge those images into one bright and non-blurry image. Night Sight also adapts to my hand movement and the stillness of the source of my image, meaning it can work really well if I keep still and take a picture of something that's very still as well. But it can also adapt to motion and still give you something better than you would have had without it. As a user, you will appreciate that in normal mode, you'll get a little message advising you to switch to Night Sight when a scene is dark enough, a gentle reminder of how good your masterpiece could be if you just switched over. Needless to say, I'm really impressed with this new feature, and I fully expect the competition to be working hard to try to match the outcome of Night Sight, but I'm pretty stoked to have it now. I'm Jason Howell, and you can catch me on All About Android talking about Night Sight and so much more here on twit.tv.
So it's really interesting, this Night Sight. I don't know what – Jason didn't really mention this, but one of the things you might have noticed when you looked at the pictures is it did better when the light sources were more diffuse than there was a bright light. The picture of him in the hall, for instance, he was a little dark. The hall was a little light. Google says we're – and this is a hard thing to do. We're trying to understand where the – because you don't want to expose for the brightest thing in the picture, right? You want to expose for his face. So they're using – a considerable amount of artificial intelligence to say, well, you probably want to see the face in this picture.
Right.
So we're not going to focus on that brightest part, except it doesn't work perfectly all the time.
Yeah.
You said this is something ILM was doing.
Well, it's not the same, but we did this back when we had film, when we were shooting with film.
Yeah.
So what you would do is, a lot of times if we were doing matte paintings or we were doing something there, what we would do is we would take, when they're running, they would run, just run the camera.
Yeah.
And we'd end up, we'd take 10 of those frames.
Yep.
And we'd basically stack them all up, and we'd have one be 100%, then 50, then 25,
it's like
then 12.5.
Kind of, right?
A little, but what all it would do is you'd slowly stack these up, and as you stack them up, the only difference is the grain, and then it would just make it a super smooth
because you can
image.
Eliminate the grain.
The grain was the only thing changing between every frame.
How interesting.
So what they're doing is the same problem they have with dark is that the errata, because what happens is that there's, as the sensor is getting light, the smaller that pixel is, the more there's the electrical errata in each sensor in each each part of that sensor. And so what happens is that when you turn it way up, that's why you get all that grain, is because that what was just a little difference in the electricity is now being magnified. And so you end up with all that electronic grain. So by taking a whole bunch of images, and what's making it work is the stabilization of that image. So they're really good at basically
that's
match
the
moving
real
those
challenge.
Images. So you stabilize
that's the
that
real challenge. Yeah.
You stabilize all of those things together, and now you can look at it and say the only thing different here, the only thing different is the grain.
Yeah.
So we'll just take what changes, but not what doesn't change between all of those, and then recreate it. Now that's a simplified version. You couldn't just go do that. You know,
you can also do it in post a lot easier than you can do it in real time.
Yeah, this is amazing.
While you're taking,
but that's why the preview is really dark, because they can't do it live yet.
Right.
You know, the other way to do it, of course, is to make the sensor a lot bigger. So, like, Canon has an ME20 and an ME200, and they took
a
huge sensor.
Sure.
And each photo site that sits on that sensor is much larger.
Right.
And you can shoot almost video at night, HD video, but you can't shoot 4K because they made the sensor.
That's the amazing thing about what they're doing. These are little crappy sensors, to be frank.
Exactly.
These are not, the camera phone sensors are tiny, smaller than your fingernail, your pinky. Fingernail, and yet they're able to do this, and it's just it's kind of remarkable. Apple will do it next year.
Yeah, and we're just seeing this is the dawn. It's the dawn of computational photography.
Something we've talked about for a long time. I think we have a few things on the table. It must be time for Alex's gift guide. This is I can't believe it's the holiday season again. Man, this thing comes around so fast. But we had so much fun last year doing our gift guides.
Yeah.
We're going to have all of our hosts from now through the end of the year come up with stuff that they think would make a great holiday gift.
And a lot of these are things that I have given as gifts. So, I have almost all of them here. The first one that I've talked about previously is the Heston Q.
That is, I bought this because it's kind of interesting. Tell us about this.
So here's what happens is that this is a, you
a
have
Bluetooth enabled frying pan, yeah, boys and girls.
It's using inductive heat. So basically it's this little pan, yeah, or this heating element, yeah, doesn't actually get hot. It actually just excites the metal in this, in
uses
this pan.
Magnets.
Yeah. And so it heats this up.
Yep.
But what's nice about it is this inductive heat allows it to, A, be very accurate,
right,
and B, do it really fast. It's amazing how fast these pots get hot.
So it's very responsive.
Now, the one thing is inductive heat still doesn't know what the temperature is. So what they did is they put a bunch of sensors into the pot and into this pan that are here. And those sensors go up through this handle, and this piece here,
it's a little wireless.
This is actually a Bluetooth connection, you know, that you see here. This little guy, you actually insert it after you buy it. And this is a, and what this does is, this talks to your phone, or it talks to your, I don't know if it's not on, so what happens is your phone can control your pot or your pan, and what it does is it does two things. It's talking to this, essentially the heating element, quote unquote, the inductive heat source, and then it also is listening to the pan. So it talks to the burner, the virtual burner, and listens to the pan. The pan tells it how hot it is, and the element basically keeps on heating the pan until it gets to the right temperature. Now the way that you can use this on your own. You can just take your phone and just say,
right,
make this temperature, and
right,
it just works. You know,
right,
so you can just cook stuff with it, and it's the most accurate pot you've ever had, right? You know, because it's just going to go to that temperature. There's a lot of times, like, for instance, I was making crepes this morning, and I was using another gift, which is this little laser measure, and constantly checking my temperature on my pan to make sure it was 400 degrees. In this case, you just turn it on, and it just goes to that temperature, and you're there.
I will show you the one issue with having smart cookware.
I am now updating
the firmware.
I know. The first time I did that,
I can make pancakes.
I did that. The first time I got it, I was like, I can't believe I'm updating my pot. So
it's fortunately a very fast process. But in a way, I'm encouraged by this because I updated, of course, as soon as I started using it.
Right.
But I haven't used it in a couple of days, and there's new firmware
already. They're really updating it. And they're just, you know, their offices are in Vallejo. They're out of Napa. They're nearby. And the interesting thing about this is the tutorials that are on the iPad,
they actually walk you through the recipes.
Video, yeah. Like, here's how to, it's not just the pan, they're like, here's how to cut your,
right,
your here's how to do this. It makes cooking, for me, the reason I like it a lot is it makes it kind of an adventure. I go out and just buy the stuff on the list.
Right.
And I like it better than a lot of the pre-built stuff that comes to, you know, comes through the door. Although I think that that's going to, you know, eventually occur, but I think that what's really great about this is that I go and I just buy raw elements and I learn how to cook. I learn how to cut. I learn how to prep sauces. I learn how to do those things going through this, and I found that to be a really
Is the burner plugged in? No, okay, that's why, yeah, I can't. I was going to start cooking something. Since we don't have any food in here, there's the base model is the frying pan, but yeah, I got the cook pot as well because.
Yep.
I can make more recipes. It's kind of cool. We've used it a few times, and I'm really, it's kind of fun.
And if you take their lessons, it's just like, oh, what am I going to make? And I just go through it, and I'm like, I'm going to make this. I've never made chicken cacciatore or whatever. I'm going to go do it. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. They have a stove. They have a range top.
That's, you know, really what
I'm super excited about. This is building towards the range. Right.
And I'm ready to replace my gas top. The reason I have a gas top, like a lot of serious cooks, is because it's instantaneous. Mm-hmm. You turn it on and off, but you kind of know by looking at the flame, mm-hmm, how hot it is, but you don't know exactly, and
right,
you have to be there to control it. The idea of having that kind of instant on control,
right,
with precise temperatures,
exactly,
is very attractive.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to clean, by the way. It's a,
yep,
pain to clean a gas stove.
Yeah, these are really good pots, too.
They're
really nice. And
good.
So that's one that I like a lot. The next one is the Anova sous vide cooker.
I also have
used this a lot.
Yeah. Mine looks just like that.
Yeah. So this is what I would suggest is I got this Anova for all of my family, my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad.
They're not expensive.
I think they get down to $69, $79 each. They're $99 right now.
There's a more expensive one with Wi-Fi.
Don't bother. I never use the Wi-Fi. So that's the more expensive one that we're showing right now. But there's a Bluetooth one.
One of those things where you're constantly watching it.
Yeah, I thought
you said it and forget it.
Exactly. So that when they started, it was a big deal that they were Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And all I do is I run the little roller until it's the temperature that I want.
That sets the sous vide temperature.
And the big thing here is that
button and it'll start recirculating the water.
And it's a simple apparatus. There are cheaper ones on Amazon and I have bought them and they are not as good. Innova just hit the right mix. And what I like about this as opposed to this one here is that I can put this into many, many different I can put it into this pot. Yeah. And this pot is, but I can also put it into bigger things, smaller things.
This is just a Rubbermaid container with a kind of a blanket cozy around it.
Yeah, and there's a whole, this happens to be the most popular one, so there's a top that you can get.
I don't have
there's
a cozy on mine. I have to
it just
it
keeps
cozy.
It from, it keeps the same, it keeps the temperature there with less energy.
Now, there's one other thing you're going to want if you're doing a
you
lot
gotta
of sous vide.
So here's the thing, is you don't. I made the mistake of buying this for my family last year for everybody. I got excited.
That's a great gift.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I use my sous vide a lot. I love it.
Yeah, but don't buy it with. I used to say, you can use Ziploc bags
just
and everything
else. Just dip it in and zip it. No.
Just buy one. This is like a $60. I think this is an Amelia. It's a different name, and there's like six names for the same thing
it's
on Amazon.
The same.
Yeah, there you go. So these NutriChef, it's exactly the same one. Anyway, it's not very expensive, $60. You get them that, you get them a roll It's a vacuum sealer, and you vacuum seal the stuff, but you want to get them off the ground because my family didn't use it enough because I didn't get this part too.
Yeah,
you just want to get the whole, like, this is how you get started, and then.
Because what this does is it takes you put a piece of chicken in there or a steak, it takes the air out of the bag. That means it's going to evenly heat it. The air is not going to insulate the
meat. It also is because you're there, it's doing a long time. If you have a lot of air,
and
you might have microbes.
You want water in there.
If you leave something like, I'm going to cook a steak tomorrow morning, I'm going to start a steak that's going to be in there for 36 hours.
Yeah. You know, tri-tip I leave in for a day and a half, exactly.
Carlita, my wife, was she thought that the sous vide was absurd. When I bought it, and now
mine
she's
too.
Like, now she's like, so I was like, oh, I put the tripod in this morning. She's like, why don't we wait until tomorrow because it's going to be a lot softer, you know. And so
awesome.
she's like,
she
become the connoisseur. Even my kids are like that. So
you'll never have better tri-tip than the sous vide.
Yeah,
you've got to do it. Otherwise, it's a little tough. This makes it tender. Cooks it thoroughly through, and then you throw it on the grill or throw it in a pan. Or use. I bet you have a torch. You can also use a torch.
I don't. I usually use a barbecue. I'll show you what I want to get on the next one. But what I was going to say is that the nice thing about this is you get all your steaks in there, and whenever your friends show up, the steak is ready 3 minutes later.
It's perfect too.
The thing that I want to. I have. I don't have this yet because this is what you can get me, Leo, for Christmas.
Okay, good.
This is my Christmas gift.
Okay.
So this is the Uni 3 pizza oven, and
wait a minute.
There's this, and then there's a pro version. That's like another $300. What this does is it uses wood pellets, and I just used this. A friend of mine, David Rewald, outside of Washington D.C., he had one, and we were making pizzas, and you made little pizzas, and you threw them in there, and it cooks them in like 90 seconds, and
it's super hot.
It's super hot. It gets up to I think like 800 degrees or 900 degrees. Now this is the perfect match. This is great to make pizzas, but they have little frying pans too that you can get with it, so that you could cook your steak in your sous vide and then throw it in here and finish it.
Oh.
And so the pro version this one's wood fired. It's all wood pellets. The pro version you can hook it to propane. You can use wood. You can use a variety of different things. So it is so slick. It's a nice, relatively inexpensive. Cooks everything fast. And yes, it's anything that you need, a lot of heat with.
And of course, this is outdoor use only.
Don't use it outside. Literally, there's flames coming out of that little chimney. It's awesome. But it's incredible. If you wanted to have like a little pizza party, with your kids, friends, or your kids, or your friends, it's a great little.
Who doesn't love pizza, right?
Yeah. So now for the geekier folks. One of the things I want to show is little kits like this. Now, this is Vilros makes this. This is an Arduino kit. So it's got, and I somehow pulled out the little circuit board, I think. But essentially, because I was using it for something else. But it comes with it's Arduino, and it comes with a lot of little sensors and bits. And there's a couple different versions of this. So the Elegoo. That's another one that I've had. And you get that one, and it's got lots of little sensors. But the thing is if you want to get somebody into Arduino, don't just get them on an Arduino board.
Yeah, because they're going to have some other stuff.
And it just takes all the work out of it. You've got a bunch of stuff. You've got a breadboard. You've got,
you know, can do crazy projects, and you can do many of them because you have everything you need.
And these come with little instructions on how to get started. You know, so this is a little manual. So this little manual has, like, you know, here's what all the stuff is, and here's your first projects. And it's just a great way. And I recommend, I've been playing with both of them, and I really recommend Arduino first.
You prefer it to the Raspberry Pi?
First. I think that if you're more advanced, you go into Raspberry Pi, but I think that Arduino is a good one to start with. So
that's nice. And you can get Raspberry Pi starter kits as well, Adafruit and other places.
Vilros makes them as well as Adafruit. Yeah. Adafruit, once you get started, then Adafruit is like there and they have so many cool things.
And the thing that they have, it was fun of them, is they give you an idea. So you have all these different projects you can do, and then they have all the parts.
It's great. Now you have a microwave.
I do not own this, but I do have a microwave oven.
I wanted to get this.
Amazon made a big deal about
before
this.
Before Amazon announced this, I was saying, you know what someone needs to do is just make a simple microwave that talks to my show or talks to my phone, because I don't want to, you know, I don't need all the other stuff.
It's exactly what this is. This is the Amazon Basics microwave. It's not a huge or super powerful microwave, but it's only $60. This would be good for a student.
Right.
It's 0.7 cubic feet. It's only 700 watts. So that's about half what maybe one of your big grown-up microwaves will do. But you can control it. And some people told me that really Amazon made this more as a proof of concept, because they sell a kit for other appliance makers to incorporate Amazon's Echo Voice services. So I guess we could cook some popcorn. I don't know. I'm not sure. You want to?
We can just turn it on. Let's just see it. Let's just see it run.
Okay. Do you have to press the button on the front? So there's a little. You see the voice button? Press that on the front. Cook for 30 seconds.
Or can we just? I think you just asked your show to.
The microwave door has been inactive for too long.
Oh. Put something in it.
Oh, it says there's nothing
in it. Okay. Now try it.
Now press the button.
I couldn't find that video.
Yeah. That's Echo.
It's Echo.
Oh no! Oh, you changed it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What's the activation for this guy?
Computer.
Echo. Computer.
Oh, it's computer? No, it's Echo. Echo. Oh.
Computer.
Just change it?
Oh. Microwave for 2 minutes. There you go.
Nothing.
Computer, stop. Computer, stop microwave.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
We're just going to microwave nothing. That's kind of cool. So, if you had maybe put a cup of coffee in there, and you're in your bedroom, and you said, "Okay, I want it to be hot now," you could say,
"Yeah,
Echo, let's try it."
Well,
computer, make popcorn. Oh, computer, microwave popcorn. What did it say?
What's the weight?
Oh, yeah, it needs to know the weight.
What's the weight of popcorn?
What's the weight?
2.75 ounces.
2.75 ounces.
For how long?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
So I'm interacting. So that's important. This does not have a microphone. This doesn't even have the smarts of an Echo.
But the other thing
is, just pairs to an Echo device that you talk to.
And just remember that we're saying it by voice command, but now that's part of the ecosystem. So you could have something else just tell it to start.
So you could say, turn on the Christmas lights, start the TV Yule log, and pop some corn.
Or say, do my wake up thing, and it'll do this and turn something else on.
It could be part
of
your routine.
You know, because I have, I like to make a little toast. I like to have my tea in the morning, and so there's like this whole thing that it could turn all these things on.
And that might be kind of fun.
Saying, I could
very
just say
Jetsons.
Echo, I'm waking up.
Right.
You know, and then it just does all the things. It turns on all the lights. It does all the things. That's what's kind of coming quickly.
Right. Nice. Now we're going to have some popcorn.
We didn't. And another thing that's great, I did give my parents the show last year.
There's two colors. This is the Echo show in black. That's yours. And then I brought in my Echo show in white.
Right.
I think they're pretty good, but now I would also look at the Google Home Hub, which is a little more elegant and does a great slideshow. Man, it's the best for the slideshow.
Yeah, but
it's
these
only
little
$150.
These little screened versions of this are really cool. Yeah. And I've gotten over. I don't know if I'd put it in a bedroom or anything, but I do have it in the kitchen, and the kids and my wife use it all the time, like literally, and you know they'll watch. They watch shows on it. They also will learn lyrics to a song because they can ask the show to play the song, and it plays all the lyrics on the front. And so they have a lot of fun with it. So they're very they're great little devices. I haven't done a lot of the video chatting. I it's part of why I got it.
Right.
My parents, their bandwidth isn't fast enough to.
I've done it with my mom, and what's nice is we have this like you in the kitchen. And she will sit on the Echo Show and watch me cook, and we'll talk while I'm cooking. And it really is kind of great.
Yeah.
It's still popping. Computer, stop microwave.
That's pretty slick.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Now, I wish it would know that the corn is popped and turned off.
Right.
Oh, that'd be cool if the microphone could listen to popping. Seems like an easy algorithm, says John.
I do that in my sleep. It's not a problem at all.
I agree. But I would also add, and I know that you're not a Google family, but the Google Home Hub is also a really good choice. Same thing with a screen. No camera, which for some people may make them happier.
Right.
Because you don't have to worry about privacy.
I think that's
why it's not good for video calling.
I think that's why I chose not to do it, is because I felt like I could always put tape over the camera, but I may want the camera, so I didn't I didn't want to not have that.
Right.
Dymo makes great label makers.
Oh,
I didn't
label
bring one here.
Great. You know what I have, though, that I would recommend over Dymo? The Brother label maker. It has a full keyboard on it instead of the... Remember the turn the knob, press it, turn the knob.
Well, Dymo makes ones that have full keyboards.
Oh, they have
too.
Keyboards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Electronic keyboards, not the punch ones. But Dymo started.
Punch ones.
When I grew up, my grandfather had the
label everything.
He labeled everything. And it was the ones that punched through the plastic.
Yeah.
And then you cut them.
Yeah, that's the old Dymo label.
Yeah. So we used to.
There we go.
I grew up with my grandfather labeled everything. My grandfather was a real.
Did he have on the electric switches on and off?
He didn't go that far.
Okay.
But that's what you know. But he did label everywhere that switch. Like all the switches, it would say what the switches were.
I don't think that's
you
a
know,
bad thing.
It would have, no, he was, and so we have them floating around our office all the time because we label. The big thing is power supplies, you know, which there should be a law, by the way. I don't believe in a lot of laws, but there should
the
be a law
name
that,
on
brand
them.
Name on the thing. Oh, this is what this power supply is for. Anyway, so, but labeling those things, I got a $500 SDI distro a year after an event. That just showed up in our office, and I was like,
"Where
did this
come
from?" No, it showed up in our office is because I labeled the back with our address. So some guy found
it, mailed it back,
you know, a year later, and just threw it in the mail.
Nice.
So you know, labeling is a really great thing, and getting it's the kind of things people won't get. So you get them for a birthday. This is my my bracelet.
This thing is insane.
It's very fashionable.
What do you think that is? He just wears that on his wrist.
Yeah, this is my bracelet right here. So
don't try to get on an airplane with that thing.
You can.
Really?
Yeah, no. You can get through. This is TSA approved.
Really?
The only place I've had trouble with it is Iraq. So leaving Iraq, going through security was complicated.
Yeah.
Took a little longer, but they let me through it. So it
was harder to leave than to get in?
Yeah, it's always harder to leave than get into these countries. Israel, Iraq, they're all
really?
Hard. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole episode. So anyway.
I guess that's because you're going from Iraq to the U.S.
You're in Iraq and you're going to the U.S. or leaving it, and
the reason it's tough is because the restrictions the U.S.
When they're
places.
Afraid what you're going to put into the plane, you know, so you go through you actually go through security a mile away from the airport.
Yeah.
And then you're in sterile space from then on.
Wow.
Then you go through another security, and then when you get on the gate, you go through another security. So it's you're very safe when you get on the plane. But this guy. What it has, if I pull it open, pops right off.
Chatham's already guessed. I can't believe they guessed what that is.
Yeah, so you've got screwdrivers.
It's a screwdriver.
You've got, now this is funny. It actually, I was wondering if this was actually what it's for, but this little guy on the end here, that is actually to pull out your, pull out your SIM card. Yeah,
SIM card bopper.
I've used that a lot. Anyway, so there's little wrenches
so
in here.
So it looks kind of like a steampunk metal link bracelet, but really.
You get a surprising number of comments about it, but it is awesome. It is the kind of thing you get as a gift because unless you do what I do, which is a lot of production, this is something that when I go on production I wear because it just allows me to fix things quickly.
So you've actually used it
Oh, when I wear it? Yeah. When I'm wearing it on a production, I use it all day.
Funny.
Like, because you got to loosen something, I got to pull something out, I got to pop something open, I got to... It is, like, the ultimate little thing to carry around.
And it's pretty styling if you're...
You get a lot of comments.
Kind of a steampunk. Yeah, it's from Leatherman.
Surprised. You get a lot of comments about that. So it's pretty slick. This is the Boker Black Knife. This is actually my letter opener. So it's just a nice
I little, have one of those in my belt buckle.
Yeah. This sits on my desk, and this is how I open my Amazon boxes. And so, it's a nice little one. It's just, it's single hand act, just pop it open, and it's just great. It's just a little bit more burly than you can get through boxes faster than a normal one. And
no
it's
kidding.
It's a cute thing.
It's like Lottie Lenya would have that in her shoes.
And that's the retail price, but they're really like $20 on Amazon, $20-$25 on Amazon.
Not bad.
The one that I couldn't find in my house was the NASA, the Fisher Space Pen.
Oh, I got one of those in my checkbook.
I've got like four of them everywhere.
They're so awesome.
They're $12. They're $12, yeah. And these things are, and they make lots of special ones and all kinds of crazy ones, but the basic one is a great, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on a gift and you just want to give someone something that they will use and they will put in their pocket, and I don't get the chrome ones or anything else. I just get the black. There's like a space black one there, but
I have a shorty.
Yeah, they're short.
And the reason I like the shorty is it's in my checkbook, has a pen loop.
Yep.
And so I always have a pen with my checkbook.
Yeah, and you can...
Someday somebody's
going
to ask me to write a check.
And what's cool is when you... There you go. That little bullet pen.
That's it.
And
I
it says $26, but I think they're like $12 on Amazon. And
I love that.
The great thing about it is when you pull it open, when you pull the top off, it goes on the back, and it's now a full-size pen. It's great. It's waterproof. I've washed them by accident. It's all those things, and it fits into your pocket. It's just awesome.
Right, upside down.
And again, it's just a great little gift. Those are for like the little office gifts that you're doing. The last one is the Baofeng two-way radio. I couldn't find them in my garage, but so these guys.
This is not a ham.
This is
talking.
And it's the 8. Yeah,
you don't need a license to use this.
You don't need a license
Looks
to use
like
them.
One.
They go. For miles.
Wow.
Like now Baofeng or Bofeng, Baofeng, they have bigger ones that we use that will go like literally 5 or 6 miles. These ones I think are 2 or 3 miles, and they actually go like that. It's like $20 for like 6 of them. So it's relatively inexpensive. There's two
what?
Things.
$20?
I think it's like 20
for 6 of them.
Maybe it's like $20 for 4
Can't
of them.
Can't be that
but it's,
cheap.
I don't think they're $20 each, but they're I know
that's
that
they're incredible.
I think that's a little low, but I think they're like $10 each. So like $60 is like 6 of them. And the thing is that you throw those into the back of your car, you get stuck somewhere, people get separated, you're going camping.
Very handy.
If we look at the tragedy that just happened up in Camp Fire, you really, those are the kind of things you want in the back in your trunk that you just kind of when you go, once you get to wherever you're going and you're splitting up and trying to figure out what's going on.
Yep.
Having some kind of communication is a big deal.
What frequency does this use? Is this the family radio service, the old Citizens Band?
Or I don't know what frequency
something
it uses.
Else.
But
it must be because it's not licensed, right?
Yeah, and but they're great. I mean, it's just a fantastic, and the other thing is that kids love them.
Nice.
400 to 470.
Okay.
And they're a lot of fun. So they have a lot of, that scales. That's the little one. But you can definitely get ones that are more expensive if your tastes are higher. They go a lot further. That scales up pretty far. To some of them that are not licensed but probably should be. So those are some of the things that I think are kind of good gifts to
No kidding.
A mixture
good
of geeky
gifts.
And yeah, that's
you didn't show this one.
Oh, this is the Tech City infrared thermometer.
This is for your pizza oven.
So I really don't cook without one of these. So I have one of these all the time. If I'm not using the Heston, which we have here, what this is you pull the trigger, and you won't. I think you can see a little line down there if you on the in front of me. But
there's a little laser sight.
Little laser there.
Yeah.
So what it does is it tells you that's where it's looking, and it'll tell you what the temperature is. It turns out it's about 80. This is about 80 degrees.
That table's hot because we've been cooking on it.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's I like precision,
yeah.
So I cook like I know that I like to cook my omelets at 380 degrees. I like to do it turns out to be the right temperature where it's just right.
Yeah.
I like to do my crepes at 400. I like to do my slow omelets at 270. Now why do I like it? Because I test the pan every single time.
You
I'm constantly changing it.
Yeah.
And going, oh, this took a little, this didn't cook the way I liked it because, oh, maybe I'll increase it a little bit. So you're constantly playing it. It makes making breakfast or dinner or whatever a constant thing because you're constantly playing with how does that heat react? How does the food react to the heat at that temperature with where it's at? Mm-hmm. And so that by doing that, you learn a lot about
cooking,
and about temperature. And nice. So it's more than just a following the instructions. It's more of a if you do it every time you cook, you learn a lot about what it looks like. And it's $15. This thing is $15. You know,
very
it's,
handy
it's not like it's super expensive. This isn't, and so I love it. So anyway.
Malachi, come here. Malachi, put your hand in that oven. Just want to see what happens here. Just come around front there. Just put your hand in that oven right there. I'll just pull open the black oven. Yeah, but what's in there?
There's popcorn.
Oh, go ahead, take it. Share that with your sister now.
There you go.
Very nice. Thank you, Alex Lindsay. Alex,
pleasure.
Gift guide. You've given me many things to buy. Many. Fortunately, I own some of them, so yeah. I don't need to buy them all. We're going to take a look at the really cute pet robot in just a second that you're going to all want to get for your kids or maybe even for yourself. But first, a word from our sponsor. Oh, is it good? Open her up. Oh, yeah. That's popcorn cooked by Alexa. What do you think? Let's got like popcorn. Our show today brought to you by LastPass. In our company, we use LastPass because, frankly, we're giving employees the keys to the kingdom, the logins to our web servers, our bank accounts, our every bit of information that, you know, we use in business. And LastPass protects it. It protects us from bad guys, but it also protects me from employees. You know, employees like to share passwords, not just with other employees, with friends. And, you know, you want to kind of, LastPass covers it. It's awesome. You got to have LastPass in your business. And because we believe in password security, we also make sure every employee gets their own LastPass account. It's kind of one of the benefits of working at Twit. And I've been using LastPass for almost a decade now, since they started. It's a password vault that's completely secure. They do everything right. In fact, Steve Gibson actually vetted it, took a look at it. He talked to Joe Segrist, who wrote the original LastPass. The things they do, like PBKDF, the derivative function that slows down brute force attacks, are state-of-the-art encryption technology. And by the way, your passwords are only decrypted on device, never anywhere else. That means LastPass itself can't see your passwords. They don't have access. Only you do. And it will generate long, strong passwords. So if you've got employees putting passwords on Post-it notes on the screen or using their kid's surname and their baby's birthday for their password, you got to get LastPass. It'll generate a long, strong, completely unmemorable password and then store it in the vault. And you can share it, too. They have folders. So their ops team, for instance, has a folder. There's a business folder. So passwords are automatically shared into that folder. You can revoke access anytime, set master password requirements. We even make sure that everybody uses two-factor. And the LastPass, by the way, multi-factor authenticator app is really great because instead of having to remember a six-digit code, it just pops up a button on the employee's phone. They say approve. That guarantees they're the only one that can access their accounts. I love LastPass. You will too. And it's, I think, a necessity for business today. With iOS 12 and Android Pie, there's autofill functionality. So it's literally the first app I install on any new device, on any new computer, because that's how I unlock everything else, my apps, my websites. I trust LastPass so much, I put my Social Security, my passport, my driver's license, all of our personal data. We use LastPass at home. The family sharing folder makes it easy for Lisa and me to have passwords in common for things like, you know, bill pay and the gas bill, that kind of thing. I also love, and I know it's kind of sounds like a grim subject, but if you ever get disabled, you can have a designated emergency access contact that will have access to your password vault after jumping through a few hoops. So, you know, you make sure that you're actually disabled. But that's really important these days because everything's in there. So if anything ever happens to me, Lisa's going to be able to have full access to not only all my accounts, but all my important personal information. It's a great way to make that easy. LastPass Premium for premium, from a personal use. LastPass Families for the big family. LastPass Teams for small businesses, 50 or fewer. and then what we use, LastPass Enterprise, for everybody else. More than 16 million people use LastPass, 43,000 businesses. It's the number one most preferred password manager. It really is what you ought to be using. Go to LastPass.com/twit right now and secure every bit of access in your business. LastPass.com/twit.
We use it as well.
Of course you use it.
And it's just...
And with Pixel Core, you have a lot of contract employees. You have a lot of interns. You got people coming and going.
And we have a lot of clients. So we have a lot of clients that are giving us access to stuff. And what we want to do is we want to have... We have a handful of trusted people that deal with the client. The client says, here's my password. I don't want to give that to everybody. That's their,
right.
You know, it's not just... And it's not even if they change it. Someone seeing your password is a glimpse into your thought process
about how you
build passwords.
That's really true.
So we don't want... we'll put that carefully in, and then we put that into a shared folder. Now, the people who need to get into that
all
account...
All they see is dots.
Yep.
They don't see the password.
They never get in. They just all of our employees are trustworthy, but you just don't want to spread that out.
Need to know. Yeah. Yep, it's absolutely. About need to know. That's really true. LastPass.com/twit. Megan Maroney reviewed the Cosmo last year. We really liked it. It was
amazing.
Cute little computer eyes that looked around. It had a real persona. Anki's come back with their successor to the Cosmo, the Vector. Megan Maroney on Tech News Weekly has her review.
Is there a helper robot on your holiday wish list this year? If there isn't, why not? And if there is, might I recommend the Anki Vector robot? The third version of this tiny lifelike robot that can do your bidding?
Oh,
there he
is. Cool looking.
So you just talk to him. Hey, Vector, give me a fist bump.
Oh? It knew, and it knew where the sound, where your voice came from behind it.
Yes, it's
doesn't know that there's a microphone there, but that's okay.
I have had all three versions of this little guy who I'm going to pick up now and show you. And this is the third one. He's $250. I should say that right up front. You have to really love robots or have a kid that really loves robots. But you can ask him all kinds of things, and he gets angry.
Wow, no kidding.
Because I picked him up. So I could say, hey, Vector, what's the weather?
65 degrees and sunny.
Oh.
If you're just listening, he just showed a little sun. And I can ask him, hey, Vector, what's the weather in New York City?
30 degrees and snowing.
I like our weather better. Although I like that animation better. You know, it's hard to know which direction to go. Hey, Vector, take a picture. Oh, it's getting ready. Nice. Now, where does that show up?
So that shows up on the app. So let me see where it shows up. Things to try.
It almost jumped for it.
Where are the... Ask it to play a game.
Hey, Vector. Play games. What are we... Oh, whoa. It's doing like a card game.
Blackjack.
Oh, blackjack. Okay.
You have 18.
Hold. Is that what I do?
Another card?
No. Definitely not. Not with 18. Okay.
Taylor's turn.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, neither of us lost. Thank you, Vector.
Play another round.
No, I'm horrible at gambling. But thank you, Vector.
Ask it if it knows your name.
Hey, Vector, do you know my name? I guess he doesn't know my name. He or she doesn't know my name.
Not yet. Well, try telling him your name.
Oh, hey, Vector.
My name is Jason. Yes? Okay, he's scanning me. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm feeling stared at right now.
Jason.
Yes.
Jason.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Don't fall.
It has edge detection, as you can
see.
Okay,
good.
Yeah, it's not going to fall. So here's the photo that it took. Not the best, but we do have a lot of lights.
Yes, we have a lot of lights in the backdrop. But still cool.
Yeah, you can also...
Yes. Hi.
You can ask it to set a timer.
Hey, Vector. Set a timer for 5 seconds. His face turned into, I don't know if it's he or she, by the way. But.
And then you pet it to make it stop. Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay. Calm
down. And you can say good robot.
Good robot. Does it not?
I think you might have to say, hey, Vector, good robot.
Hey. That's one of the challenges with this kind of technology, because on one hand, we want it to be conversational. On the other hand, we don't want it always listening.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, Vector.
Good robot. Alrighty then. And then when Vector gets low on batteries, it'll go home automatically, right?
Or you can tell it to go home.
Hey, Vector, look at me. Go home, please. Kind of looked a little disappointed that I sent him home.
Probably it did. It will eventually find its home, I think. It should.
We'll hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be trapped out in the wilderness with no more battery once the battery runs out.
You could also say, hey, Vector, go to sleep.
Okay, so I will admit that Vector is adorable when you're interacting with Vector. However, I will also admit that Vector was asleep in the office while I was working the past couple of days. And by asleep, I mean not really. Because every once in a while, he'd just go, which is really great when you're actually talking to Vector, but really annoying when you're not.
Woke back up. See, like you put him to sleep, and he was like a baby, kind of.
It knows. Or it knows I'm yelling right now, and I'm sorry, Vector. I'm sorry I woke you up. But
Hey, Vector.
Kind of looks sad.
Hey, Vector. Hey, Vector. Hey, Vector.
Hey, Vector. Hey, Vector. We're done with you.
I can also change the color of its eyes.
Oh, that's amazing. That's what I was waiting for.
So I can make them orange.
Okay.
Yellow.
All right.
Green. Blue.
So what does the third generation Vector do that the first generation?
Answers questions. Hey, Vector. I have a question. Who is Leo Laporte?
Leo Gordon Laporte is an American technology broadcaster, author, entrepreneur, and head of Twit.tv.
And it's going to get Alexa support in December. So you will be able to ask it all the questions that you ask your Amazon Echo. That's coming soon, before the holidays.
Could you imagine Vector traveling freely around the bottom floor of your home as like just a roaming robot that you never get tired of?
I can. I have tried that. The dog does not attack him, which is good. We've taught our other Vector how to deliver the dog treats, so I think that's probably why the dog likes Vector. I wish that it would vacuum.
Yeah.
Like, if this were combined with a vacuum, that would be amazing.
It would take a long time. Oh, actually, if it could, like, board the vacuum.
Yes. take a ride on the vacuum.
Yeah, it'd be like, it's time to vacuum. Yeah. Get on top of the Roomba, and then it's like the Roomba is its vehicle. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Fourth generation. They're
right,
working on
exactly.
That.
So cool. I like what they're doing. I like Anki as a company. They've made different stuff every year that I've always found to be delightful. And so this one is just a little more advanced. I wouldn't necessarily say, it's something that's 100% useful. I just think it's fun to have around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's friendly and cute. And maybe that, means it's going to eventually take over and eliminate the world.
I'm pretty sure this tiny little robot is not going to take over the world. All I have to do is lift it up like this and never mind. I concede. I concede, robot.
Anki robot, it's $250. You can get it wherever robots are sold. You can watch more of their funny videos or check out more information about it at Anki.com.
Oh, man. I feel like someday, she kind of nailed it when she said if it could vacuum. But really what you want is that robot to be smart enough to know about your vacuum And then you tell it to vacuum, and it goes, and it gets on, and it talks to the vacuum.
And it can negotiate with the vacuum.
This way.
Saying, you know, come on, man.
Come on.
Let's get those edges. Come on. You're not keeping your end up.
Talks
to the Roomba. Hey, Roomba.
Wouldn't that be?
I really don't like your attention to detail here on the corners. You know,
but the problem is,
an overmaster.
iRobot's never going to talk to Anki, and Anki's never going to talk. It's like, because they all siloed.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to, and I feel like this is a promise that's not going to ever deliver.
Well, unless, I think what we're going to see is eventually the big companies like Apple or whatever. I mean, if Apple wants to, if their phones are slowing down, they could literally redesign our houses very quickly with everything that just works. Because if you look at how much work it takes to turn any connected.
Getting that microwave
things,
connected to my phone took me 20 minutes.
Yeah, and when I got my new iPad, I just put my phone near it, and it just went, oh, I'm done. You know, and that's what's going to happen.
Maybe that's it. It's just one company's going to win and make everything.
Right.
It's going to be Amazon.
Amazon or Apple?
Maybe Apple. I think it's going to be Amazon.
Problem is, all the Amazon stuff will be cheap.
Yeah, it'd be kind of crappy.
Yeah, like that.
So maybe there'll be two.
Amazon,
like,
and Apple.
For people who have more money than they know what to do with, Apple.
Yeah, exactly.
For everybody else, there's Amazon.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of like Charmin or OnePly. Right? You get
or European sandpaper.
Or sandpaper.
What is the deal? Like, if you're watching here from
Europe,
what is the deal with all the toilet paper in Europe? It's all we were thinking that we hate people, so we will give you sandpaper.
See, that's why I have a Toto toilet, because I don't need to worry about sandpaper or nothing.
Yeah.
Does Malachi know about the Toto?
No.
Malachi, do you have a toilet that washes your butt?
No, he doesn't have access to it.
I liked his look.
What?
Toto washlets are the it's basically takes your everyday trip to the bathroom and turns it into a spa-like experience.
It's amazing.
And it's your fault.
I know.
It's like this gift guide. You told me 2 or 3 years ago about this, and I laughed.
It wasn't 2 or 3. It was 10.
May I say I poo-pooed it?
Yes.
But I don't know how, but you wore me down. You convinced me. We got a Toto washlet.
It's hard to, you know, the hard part is it's hard to talk about it because, you know,
nobody wants to talk about this. Hygiene. Personal hygiene.
Well, especially personal hygiene on your toilet. I mean, you know, it's kind of like it's not something you bring up at dinner. You know, like, I got to tell you, the thing I just got for my toilet, it's amazing.
You wouldn't believe how clean my butt is. You don't say that. But honestly, you're thinking it.
Yeah.
And that's the key here. So we got one in the master suite, right? Lisa and I got one. Lisa did not really kind of get it, but we went out and we got it. Now it's like, oh, no, I'm not using any other toilet. In fact, it got to the point where when people would come to our house, instead of using the guest bathroom, they'd come into our bedroom master suite to use that bathroom.
Yep.
Our kid comes into our bedroom to use the toilet.
Right.
Finally, so we said, all right, Michael, you're going to get your own. We got one of the guests. So we have three. We have them everywhere in the house. And the truth is, I don't want to leave home anymore because there's nowhere as good as you get. Okay, let me just picture this. You get up in the morning. You go in. The seat rises to greet you.
Which is what happens in almost every hotel I've ever been in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. But that's where these came from. Yeah, Toto's exactly. Japanese. So the seat comes up. You go, oh, that's interesting. So you sit down. It's warm. It's like a warm towel. Now, if it's the summertime, you could turn that off if you don't want warm. But
right.
I really,
yeah.
Oh, it's comfortable. Okay.
The other thing that's interesting is my grandmother actually got one because she just had a lot. You know, just if you're not super mobile, it just solves a lot of issues.
By the way, if you go to wayfair.com/NSS, you can see the variety of. It's not as expensive as you think because they have. You could just replace your lid, for instance, and get most of the functionality.
I just replaced my lid. I didn't do anything
else. No, we actually bought whole toilets because we went crazy.
Yeah.
But when you're done doing your thing, the touch of a button, and we have a nice little remote, by the way, which is really cool. You can see that remote on the left, or you can have it by the toilet. Mm-hmm. I like the remote because it's kind of off to the side.
I do. I don't like the one. I like it to be next, like attached to the wall or something.
Yeah, it's attached
like
to the wall.
Yep.
And actually, you could pick it up and take it with you, although I can't for the life of me think about why you would want to do that.
No.
You pretty much don't need it anywhere else in the house. You need it in one place. So we screwed it into the wall. But then, so you push a button. And by the way, you can program it. So different members of the house can have different warmth of water, different strength of jets, different positioning.
Yep.
A little wand comes out, and it washes you clean with a soothing warm water cleanse. Ours has an automatic deodorizer that circulates the air over a filter so that, you know, no odors. Some models have the premist. These are the premium models. Have the premist. that will spritz your toilet bowl before use and then afterwards, e-water plus electrolyzed water to kind of clean and disinfect afterwards. There's night lights. There's remote controls. There's on-demand water heating so you never run out of warm water. That kind of is a problem, by the way. I don't know. Maybe this is TMI. But I kind of like sitting there. So sometimes Lisa will come and say, you used all the hot water. Because it's like a shower for your bum. It's very comforting and, yes, and soothing, and I love it. And it, you know, people might say, well, is that weird? No. Maybe the first time it's like, what? But then after, you know, 30 seconds.
And the only thing that I had to do that was that I didn't do myself was that I got a, I had to get the GFI plug.
Yeah, you want a GFI plug. So that,
near
you know,
it. So I had that electrician. But the electrician was doing something else, and I said, hey, can you just knock a hole and put that through? And
it actually was really easy. It was really fast expensive. And easy. You do need power by the toilet. You don't need water. Your toilet already has that. You're going to just love it. It's an incredible toilet seat. It's going to change the way you experience clean. You owe it to yourself. This is not a luxury. This is a necessity.
It's Toto because you don't use dry towels on your dishes.
Right.
Same thing.
The rest of the world thinks we're nuts that we don't have bidets and all these other solutions.
But the other ones that don't make it, like if this you go to the Middle East or if you go to Middle East or whatever, and they have the little, they have the hose.
That's not good.
It's not. The Japanese really figured out how to make this work.
Basically, they started there. Yeah, and they said, no, we can make this better.
Then there was the French one that's a separate thing. Yeah, and then the Japanese were like, why don't we do it all one?
This is
and
the right thing.
It all just kind of came together. And it's awesome. And it just keeps getting better. You know, it's like even the one I have now is very rudimentary compared to this.
Anybody have one of these in the chat room? Because I know if you, I just want some testimonials. Because it's just one of those things when you do it, you will never go back. It does make it hard to use other people's toilets, I got to say. Wayfair.com/NSS. Check out all the different ones. And by the way, if you decide to buy one, use the code NSS at checkout, and we've got some special savings for you. We love our Totos. They're so great. Wayfair.com/NSS. And now, Malachi, bring in the mailbox. Oh, he's so gentle. Many people would just push it in there, let the chips fall where they may. Thank you, Malachi. Malachi and Isabella have been here all through the show. Alex's children, and they're great. Fifth grade and fourth grade. You guys are rock. And now it's time for our mailbag. Alex, pick a mailbag. Mail. You start. These are all emails. We just print them out so we can do that.
This is, yeah, exactly. I mean, why not? Makes it feel more important. This is from Alex in Guernsey, Channel Islands.
Oh, yes! Wow. He brings me, I don't know if it's him, but I get my Jersey fudge from Channel Islands. It's
hey,
so
Alex.
Good.
I'm Alex. Anyway, so it says, hi, Leo and Alex. I love my Nan. She's 85 and has incredible stories. The world has changed so much during her life, and I desperately want to record her talking about her past and her experiences. I have a Pixel 2 and a GoPro, which will probably serve for video purposes, but my concern is audio quality. Is there a go-to microphone for amateur interviews? Keep up the great work.
I have to say, I did this with my mom, and I just used, I think, a phone, and it's fine.
Yep.
But if you, I mean, honestly, it's more important that you get the recordings than that the audio be pristine. It's pretty darn good on most of these phones.
Absolutely. I think that if you're going to get something, you know, there's not a lot of, I don't find there's a lot of the mics that are really good that you interface with the phone. There's a couple on the iPhone that do that, but on a Pixel, I haven't found as many that are USB-C. What I like, if you just want to have something that works pretty well, is that, you know, Zoom makes an H4N. Now, they also make an H2, they make an H1, but the H4N, here's the thing about this, is that it's a nice mixture. It's got mics built in that you can use.
And they're very good.
They're very good mics, but it also has two XLRs on the bottom. So if you decide that you want to go a little bit further and get a lav or get a, you know, something else, or a shotgun mic, and plug it in, you still have that ability to plug that in. There you go. So you can have a conversation recorded on two separate tracks. You don't need to do that. What's nice about this is that you can just use the mics on the top, but you can have two mics at the bottom record separate channels and put that together. And so
it has phantom power, so it can use you know, Shure SM58s.
Phantom power. Yeah, okay. The so it's a It's a great little recorder. It does have a headphone out, which you might be able to... I think you can get an adapter that would go into your Pixel. Oh, I don't know if the Pixel... Does the Pixel 2 have a headphone jack?
No.
No. Well, through an adapter or whatever. So, but, you know, and the way we do it, of course, is we record separately. So we record... But I do think you can get from this into the Pixel... you know, through an adapter.
But you could record separately so that you then sync them up.
Then you have the great audio and you sync it.
Have Nan clap at the beginning of it.
Exactly. Well, and you can even just use the waveform. You'll be able to match those up really, really quickly. So it's a pretty straightforward way to do it. I think that's probably for the price, you know, probably the best solution. The kind of the Uber solution would be something like a Mixpre 3. You know, that's
what,
like,
I use at home.
If you want to go over the top, you know, the Mixpre 3 with a good microphone, like an NT2 shotgun. So let me just tell you, NT2
come on
shotgun.
Now, Alex. Hey. Alex, you asked the wrong guy for this.
Yeah, I started well.
I said, don't do anything, just use the phone. And
we don't do anything, use the phone. The next step up is get the H4N. The next step up is get a Mixpre with a Rode NT2. The Mixpre with
Mixpre with my Heil PR40. It sounds awesome. I record commercials in my office.
But that would be with her. If you're shooting video, that Heil has to be right in front of her.
No.
You get like an NT2 and you mount it, and that's a little shotgun mic over top of it going into that.
Make sure you get a dead cat to put on it.
You know, if you're outside. Yeah, exactly. If you're outside, of course. You know, and
$8,000 later.
No, it's
Nan's going to sound
great. It's about the NT. That's not it. There should be a shotgun mic. NT. No, it's not Sennheiser. It's made by Rode. But the you know, that'll all set you back. You know, $800, not $8,000. So that's
only an Alex.
You know,
it's nothing.
I'm just saying. Look, I just wanted to give you the upper option.
Look, I bought the Mixpre because of you, and actually I'm thrilled that I did. I use it as an audio interface for Skype, but I also can use it to record, too. That thing is
the preamps on that are the best in the world.
Sounds fantastic.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
the NTG2.
I don't know how many
we
have.
So you could put that on if you had a DSLR, I could put that on the DSLR. Is it pretty good? I mean,
it is. It's good. It's you know,
directional.
It's not going to be a replacement for, you know, some of the really, you know, high end ones. But that's what we've used. That's our bread and butter for interviews and everything.
You could
else.
Put that on a stick.
Price performance
and hold
is amazing.
It over Nan. And
yeah, you just
get
mount
your
it.
Sound man.
You can get like one of those little shock mounts and then hook it up to something. But it's you run that into the Mixpre and then you run it into whatever else you want to run it into. And that's if you wanted like I want to do it a professional level of whatever, that would be the upper end of that. But
how much is that?
I think they're about $250.
That's not bad.
You know, for those as a price performance on that shotgun.
I wonder if some YouTubers use that, because that would be a good choice for YouTube. You know.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's that's a really good match for all purpose.
Well, I have a DSLR that does incredible video. Right.
Right.
Most modern DSLRs do 4K 60 frames per second,
right.
High quality video.
Well,
and if you had decent audio, man, you could make a movie.
Well, and I've been getting well, even with your phone now. I mean, the phones are so good that you can make a movie.
Honestly,
with your phone. You know,
people
and
do.
Yeah, but the key is that audio is more important than video. People will watch a lot of bad video if the audio is great. They will not listen to bad audio
That's
for very
true.
Long before they're like, I got to
stop.
How
far away can we take this Rode mic from Nan?
Like, it can be. So what we typically do is we want it out of frame above the person.
Yeah, but that's going to scare her. So what
maybe.
If we just set it up
you
on
can
a
set
tripod?
You can set it on a tripod just out of frame over here.
Okay.
What we do is we set it up above, and then we point it right at your diaphragm. So right here.
Oh, don't put it at the mouth?
Yeah, we point it right at the diaphragm.
Okay.
And that just kind of covers what's coming, you know, there. So we have one or two pointed that way. And then we use primary backups. We have two of them, but you can just use one. So anyway, so that's pointed right to here is where, usually typically where we point our mics. They're great. You know, they do a good job. They're better than lavs. They'll sound a lot better than a lav, and you don't see it on frame. You know, when you're doing interviews, you're not typically using lavs.
These lapel mics, especially with Nan, she's going to hit them.
Yeah.
She's going to breathe into them. It's just not going to work. And then they're going to get off and they're going to point the wrong way. You're going to this really is not a good solution for anybody who doesn't know how to use them.
Right. It's good for live video. I mean, that's why we use it. But if you're doing interviews, don't use a lav. Use a shotgun. If people are seated like this, if they're walking through something, then you use a if they're walking through, and if it's a BBC, you turn these all upside down. The BBC turns all their mics. Have you ever watched a BBC thing?
Why?
Because they don't want plosives. So, you know, they turn it away. It's an Omni mic. I don't think you lose more than 10 dB, you know, pointed down, but it's...
That's pretty funny.
A lot of us have had a lot of conversations about the BBC and their mic placement. I'm not a big fan of it, but there's a lot of guys that don't think it makes any difference.
Can you tell when you listen to it that their mics are pointing?
So here's what I hear, is I hear more paper movement.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But they're omnidirectional, and they'll say that, oh, it doesn't really have an effect, but I guarantee when I watch the Beeb,
we don't like omnis because they pick up too much room noise. We want more directional. The problem with directional, which you can buy, is if they get off axis, the guy sounds like he's talking to the,
or it sounds, what'll happen is the audio engineer will try to maintain that your volume, and they'll bring up all the noise of the room because they're, and that is a super common problem. Oh, this is it.
Talk to the mic.
Look at that. You guys use the same thing.
I didn't even know we did.
You guys are so cool.
When have we ever used this?
No idea.
There it is. So this is very
directional. But we have it.
Very directional.
I might take this home if we don't use it.
And we like it a lot. So it's, for the price, this is just a great shotgun.
If I mounted this on the camera, would that be too far away?
Like no, you could totally put mount on the camera.
If I had the camera, this would be far from Nan. I don't want it to be in Nan's face because she's going to get self-conscious. That'll be okay.
You'd be surprised. People will just it'll just blend in for them pretty quickly. We don't ever have any problems with people.
If you've ever watched TV... Watch Meet the Press and turn the picture off. I know this because listen to their podcast. It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Awful because they don't bother because it's TV. You got the picture. What do you want sound for?
Yep.
Jorge writes, what computer system would you recommend? And this is for you too. For editing films and videos, is there an inexpensive one that will be as good as a high-priced one? If you could help me out, I would appreciate it. Now, I want to mention that Adobe's doing, as fast as they can, this Rush. I haven't really played with it much. But Adobe has a video editor that they are going to have a Chromecast, a Chrome plugin for. So you could use it on a Chromebook, which would be about as cheap as you can get. And it does all of the hard work in the cloud on the server side. But this isn't out quite yet. I think this, or I guess it is. I haven't played with it too much. I've made a little video. It's pretty simple timeline editing. It's not super sophisticated, but it has transitions and titling and, it lets you cut a clip. I guess that's part of the question is how much capability do you want?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at this point, the what's important for your computer is the most important thing, in my opinion, is the drive, SSD. You want to have an SSD drive if you can. I would just get my opinion is a Mac. It doesn't have to be a really big Mac, but you can do a lot of editing even on the base units now, and especially like a little Mac Mini will do.
$799 for the base Mac Mini, which would be probably adequate to do editing.
Yep. And the drive speed is important because you're moving a lot of big files around. The big thing with a Mac is that what you're dealing with is you're now going to pay nothing for iMovie,
which is pretty good.
It's far. Far better than what Rush is going to do or whatever.
It's the best free app for
sure. Oh, it's amazing. And it is the most popular video app in the world.
Yeah.
And then once you get used to it, what's nice is that the iMovie interface, it's not hard to learn Final Cut if you came from iMovie. So Final Cut, I paid $300 for when
it
came out.
That's the pro program.
And it's got an incredible, I mean, they're doing feature films on it, you know, and when they started, it was a little rough. But now, what happens is Apple just keeps on throwing features in, and they never charge an upgrade. So you pay $300 once, and it's now running towards it's capable of. Oh, you want to do 8K? Sure. You want to do VR? Sure. So there's an incredible amount of tools in this app, and they just keep on turning up that knob, and they never charge you for it. So you get into most everything else, you're paying your $10 a month or $50 a month or whatever you're doing to do that. And Apple just keeps on turning the volume up on Final Cut. I just think it's the best. Now, the other one that you can look at on both platforms is DaVinci. DaVinci is Blackmagic's. Now, DaVinci, when I started, was a color correction tool for film. It still does that. But now Blackmagic's added all this editing into it.
And this is free, right?
There's a free version, and then there's a... I don't know if it's... I think there's an upper... There's an expensive version. It's like $300.
Should you download DaVinci on a Windows or Mac machine and
give it a shot?
Try it and see if it'll
definitely
do what
give it
you
a
want?
Shot. There's some creature comforts that I like still in Final Cut, so I'm still using that. But DaVinci has, a lot of my friends are slowly using DaVinci because it's got, there's two things. One is it's got really high-end color correction tools. And number two is they're pushing Fusion, which is a full effects platform that they bought. They bought Fusion. They're pushing Fusion into DaVinci. So now you have a full nodal compositor like Shake being built into the editing app, which is what we, when we built Conduit originally, it was so that we could put nodal compositing into Final Cut. And so...
I have to caution you, though, Jorge. If the words nodal compositing don't just ring your chimes...
It's the future.
Future for professional video. And I guess no, that's but, really but the question is, what you
can,
do you want to do?
But you can still do all the basic stuff. You can just cut something here, you know, and then you you can just... you know, you can just cut a video, but the point is here's the problem: is you're going to spend a lot of time learning how to use this app. If you want to cut edit, if you want to cut stuff, it is important to think about where you're going to go down the road. Now, what's great about DaVinci is that you are and Final Cut, but you're DaVinci, you can get into it for free. You can play with this. You can decide. You know, so whether you get a Mac or a PC, I would still get a Mac. You know, on that for video. I mean, I have PCs for other things, and I have Linux for other things. But for Mac,
he said, videos, "Remember that price was you know, an object."
But so. Still, but it's going
to
be hard.
You're going to pay a 25% to 50% premium just to buy a Mac.
Yeah, but then you're going to save money on the. You know, I don't. I mean, okay. I my problem is that I value my time. You know, and so if you're doing video on a PC, you know, I find that to be. You know, I don't. I've done a lot of video on a PC. I've done web design on a PC. I've done print design on a PC. I mean, and when I say it, for years. So it's not that I've never used it. It's just that there were all these little things that the Mac just is built for. So the Mac is built with a platform to do video. When we're talking about Excel, when we're talking about, there's many things where I think that a PC and a Mac are even. When you're talking about video and audio, there's going to be a lot of little things that you have to add and everything else. And there's good business reasons to use PCs at times. But if I'm a single person editing my own work, a Mac is the Mac platform is just more built for what you're talking about. And it just has subsystems that are easier to, that are going to support that process more effectively. And that's the big advantage. And when the advantage of Final Cut is when Apple upgrades the operating system, they're taking that application specifically into account. So all these upgrades that you see, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see Final Cut on a iPad someday soon.
I think we're going to see that sooner than later.
I think so. I mean, I don't have any inside information.
You can get iMovie on an iPad. It's pretty good.
And if you look at the power though of the new one, I finally broke down and bought the
Pro,
and it's
12.9.
Oh my goodness! Nice? Yeah, it's
It feels like though it's the computer from the future.
I tried. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop myself. I just finally was like, I have to have one. The what's amazing is the pen responsiveness is surprisingly good. Anyway, so I still think that you're going to pay a little bit more for the hardware, and it's going to save you a lot of time, and the Final Cut makes up for it.
Or get a Chromebook and use Rush. Which will be,
and good luck,
$300.
See how that works for you,
and you'll be sorry. you could get a cheap Windows machine. Windows comes with a free video editor. It's not very good, you could just put the DaVinci on there, right? That's free
if it runs well on it.
Is there a free Avid?
I don't know, but I wouldn't invest in Avid. I mean, Avid is good for.
For big films,
there's some scalable issues that Avid makes it easier to do, and there's reasons to use it in a film environment. But I wouldn't, like, as my first editing tool, I would not. You may never get to a point where you take advantage of the tools.
iMovie's more intuitive.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Good starting point.
Yeah.
Well, you ask, as they said in the chat room, you ask an Alex question, you get an Alex answer. You may not like what you hear, but he's telling the truth, folks. He's telling the truth. I see that all the time. People say, well, I'm just not going to spend that money. And then they get something that they never use because it's just too hard.
You keep circling into this thing of it not working. You know, failure
bite the bullet.
For many things, failure is the most important, is the most expensive part of the equation.
Say that like Yoda.
Failure, most important part of the equation. JJ, you are not always paying attention to the future.
We thank you so much for joining us. Alex Lindsay is at Alex Lindsay on Twitter, LINDSAY. say, Alex Lindsay? What would you say about anything? Find out at Alex Lindsay on the Twitter. He's also at the Pixel Corps, and he joins us many Tuesdays. Not every, but when he's available, which is most Tuesdays on Mac Break Weekly. It's always a pleasure to have you. And thank you for bringing the little ones.
They're they love it. They love coming.
And they got popcorn. Specially made chemical.
They're hidden over there.
Popcorn.
You guys, yeah, there you go.
Khalid is going to kill me for letting him eat that. Stay away from that champagne, kids. It's not good. Not good for you. That thing's been sitting there since 2010. we do the new screensavers every Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC. You could tune in and watch at twit.tv/live. That'll be the live stream. Actually, we have audio as well there. And if you're watching or listening live, you really ought to be in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. On-demand versions of this and every show we do on the network is available at twit.tv. In this case, twit.tv/NSS. And you can also use your favorite podcast application and subscribe. In fact, if you would do us a favor, subscribe, that would warm the cockles of my heart. I would really appreciate it. That way you get every episode the minute it's available. Let's see. We will do more gift guides. Yes, in the next coming weeks. So every host is going to bring his or her favorite item in. Florence Ions next week. I think Florence is going to do some fun stuff. She's an IoT queen. Might have a lot of IoT stuff next week. And I'll be here, too. We'll see you then on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.